Hey there, welcome to another episode in the Blissful Biz podcast. I'm your host, Susanna Reichler. I'm so excited you're here. In today's episode, I'm talking with Kendra Perry, a business coach for health coaches and practitioners, and we're talking about all things, how to come up with your niche, how to get started on Instagram, what kind of content you should share, what to look out for in 2023. I know you're going to love this episode. Kendra is amazing. I could have continued listening to her sharing her wisdom for hours. Grab a pen. You're going to want to take notes, and let's dive in. Hey there, welcome to the Blissful Biz podcast. I'm your host, Susanna Reichler, here to help yoga and wellness entrepreneurs build a thriving online business. If you're ready to make a bigger impact and earn money online, you are in the right place. Each week, you learn about websites, digital products, social media strategies, and what's working now to build your online business. And now let's get started. Hey, Kendra, welcome to the Blissful Biz podcast. So excited to have you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, amazing. I think I found you on Instagram and was so happy that we did. And yeah, we're such a similar audience. So you're also working mainly like with wellness professionals and things. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you do and yeah, who you help, what exactly do you help your students and clients achieve?
Yeah, so I'm an online business for health coaches and practitioners. I actually used to be a functional health practitioner, started my business back in 2014 as a health coach running labs. And I got into that because I was having a lot of my own health issues. I was really struggling. And I kind of went into it, into a certification program more to help myself. But at the time, like I also kind of needed a career change as well. So it just kind of turned out that I was like, okay, I can use this to help myself. And maybe this will provide me with a new career that I'm actually passionate about. So I started doing that. I built that business to multiple six figures about 3 years later. And then in 2019, I just really started to notice that there was a lot of my colleagues who were struggling. And I think like, you know, wellness practitioners, you know, you serve a lot of yoga instructors, like they're very passionate about helping people. And that very much that holistic approach, but that doesn't translate over into skills for a successful online business, especially online. A lot of what we're taught in our certification programs is more geared towards like brick and mortar in person. And we'll never work online. So it just was really bothering me that there was just all these talented people who could help people, but had no idea how to actually reach their ideal clients, how to sell, how to market. And I actually really like that stuff. You know, I'm totally self-taught. You know, I learned it kind of basically just by trying a lot of things that didn't work. And so I started taking on some business coaching clients and then realized that I was way more passionate about that. And that was way more fun for me. So I made that transition in 2018. And now I'm really focused on helping kind of the early stage health coaches and practitioners, you know, build that six-figure online business.
Thank you. I love that. I also love that you really have that experience firsthand. And wow, that sounds like you've been really successful. That's amazing. And yeah, I can totally relate that you feel more passionate about that. I was in that position when I was working as a traveling yoga teacher. And then I was also working on my travel blog and helping other yoga teachers. And I found that just like so much more fun and exciting compared to, I don't know, studying anatomy. So it felt like a natural progression as well. Though I have to say, I've never been as successful as a yoga teacher as you apparently were as a health coach. So kudos to you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So, oh my God. And then you just started before the pandemic, which probably gave your business as every other coach, like a big push, right? Since suddenly everybody had to move online.
Yeah. Well, I find the pandemic is so interesting because, you know, I've been online since 2012. Like you, I had a blog. I first started with a horrible blog, but it, you know, I was trying to make money off that, never really figured it out. But I always knew that people were going to discover kind of the magic that is, you know, being online. And, you know, when I first started, people were like, oh, weird. Like you work online, you work from home. Like that's so strange. But you know what COVID did is just really speed up the rate at which people discover that the online world is kind of magical. And so I think with the pandemic, like there's been good and bad things. Like now people are very familiar with the online world and are comfortable buying online, but it's also made it really saturated, right? And especially because I know we're talking about social media today, it's made social media incredibly competitive and incredibly saturated.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more noise. And I also feel like people got a little bit more jaded, maybe also a little bit more educated consumers on, you know, like not every scam is working, thank God, right, anymore. But yeah, it's definitely, I think, more important than ever to really stand out.
Yeah, so, absolutely. And you mentioned like there's so many scammers, I think, you know, more than ever, it's really important to build trust, safety, and certainty with your audience, right? Because people are skeptical. People invested in all kinds of things during COVID when they had way more time on their hands than they knew what to do with. And they invested in a lot of things that, you know, maybe didn't work, or maybe they didn't feel fully supported, or it wasn't what they thought it was. So there's a lot of skepticism. It's actually a big objection I have to overcome with my audience. Whereas 2 years ago, that wasn't the case. But now people are like, well, I tried this thing and it was horrible, or the coach really let me down. And so there is this really jaded perspective that I think all of us as coaches are really going to have to, you know, work hard to prove to people that we're trustworthy.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's like, but it's, you know, it's good for businesses who've always been that way, like more concerned about their students, their results, than just about selling or just like, you know, like doing like all the latest things that everybody else was doing. Yeah, so you've been, I love it that you've been in business for such a long time. When you compare, when you started as a health coach, when was it, like 2014 or something, and somebody who would get started today, what would you do differently? What would you tell them to do?
Yeah, well, I've seen a lot of changes. You know, like I think when I started my business, I didn't have a smartphone. So, you know, like, I didn't own a smartphone. Instagram didn't exist. Canva didn't exist. I don't even know how I got graphics. I guess I was just hiring people to, you know, create things in Photoshop. And, you know, I used to do all my marketing just through Facebook. And obviously now we have so many more options. But to be honest, I don't actually think I would change anything that I did. And, you know, what's really interesting is, you know, marketing trends come and go. Social media platforms come and go as well. Like right now, the big thing is TikTok, obviously. But the kind of core elements of marketing and sales have generally stayed the same. And, you know, I think maybe the only thing I would do different is I would have actually hired a mentor sooner, because as soon as I hired the mentor and actually, you know, got that support, got the roadmap, things happened quite quickly. I hit six figures within, I think 6 months of hiring my first mentor. And I went from making, I think it was like 25,000 a year to 90,000 in a year, just from having that mentorship. And I was really resistant to it at first. And as I think a lot of people are, you think you can do it on your own. I'm really stubborn. I was like, I can figure this out on my own. But ultimately what I did is I focused on taking consistent action. I constantly took action. A lot of it was bad action in terms of like, I made a lot of crappy posts and I did a lot of things that didn't ultimately work. I had big failed launches, but I just showed up every single day. And I really focused on building an audience on social media and building my email list. And that's really what I help my clients with today is I teach them how to build on social media and then transfer those people onto an email list where most of the sales happen. And that's still how it works. All my sales still come through email, right? Like in a sense, like what I teach and what I believe works really can be applied to kind of any side of marketing. And there's going to be more tech platforms and more tools. Obviously right now, the big change is ChatGPT and artificial intelligence. Like that's, you know, huge and is really going to change things. But in the end, a lot of the stuff hasn't changed and it's still the same.
Yeah, even with that, I feel, I mean, you still have to give it your own individual take, right? You can't just like tell ChatGPT, write a Facebook post for me about that topic and post it. And the next week you ask it again to write something and it's like some completely different style. No, you have to still know your brand and your brand message and But let's talk more about social media. Because I know it's such a beast for a lot of people, right? So when, especially I think when you get into business really with the intention to serve people, to help people. It's not, you don't really think about marketing or having to show up on Instagram. And I know that from my clients, it's such a big hurdle sometimes, right? There's so many mindset blocks and things. And I'm always like, but it's amazing that we have these tools and they are free and we can use them to spread our message. But yeah, but I get it, that's really hard. So what would you tell people, to someone, maybe have a few tips, someone who's like, I'm doing all the things already, I'm posting three times a week, I still don't grow, I don't see any results.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, this is really common. I mean, I hear this a lot as well. And I, you know, I think consistency is really important. And everyone tells you that, right? People are like, consistency, consistency, consistency. But consistency is important, but it's not going to make up for shitty content, to be honest, right? And it's not going to make up for general unfocused content that's boring and doesn't speak to anyone. And so when it comes to selling on social media and marketing on social media, you really have to make sure you're speaking to one person in particular. And I believe, you know, we're into almost like halfway through 2023 now, like niching is more important than ever. And what I've seen are health coaches that who have previously had very general niches and were able to grow to multiple six figures with general niches are actually being forced to niche down over the past year, just because of how saturated it's gotten online. And I think, you know, if we're talking about health practitioners, yoga instructors, like they don't, you don't like teach niching in school. Like it's like general yoga, general health coaching, right? And that's great, but it doesn't actually speak to people. And this really comes back to that piece we were talking about at the beginning, which is trust, really building trust. People are only going to trust you if they feel like you get them. And they feel like you understand them. And that's always the goal with marketing, is understanding your target market better than they understand themselves, so that they feel like this person's reading my mind, right? And so the more hyper niche you can be, the better, not only from a marketing perspective, but from a social media algorithm perspective. And, you know, if we're talking about Instagram, this is the platform I'm most familiar with and do most of my marketing on. The CEO of Instagram actually tells you explicitly all the time to niche down, because the algorithm wants to categorize you. They need to categorize you in order to know who to show your content to, right? And so if you're really general and you're like, oh, I talk about UTIs one day, and now we're talking about yeast infections, and now we're talking about gut and hormones and whatever, they don't know who to show your content to, because people live in specifics. Like, people don't live in generic terms. We think like, you know, I have Hashimoto's, and it's causing me to gain weight, and I'm really freaking tired, and I need a solution for Hashimoto's. That's what they're searching for. People think in specifics, their emotions are in specifics. So if we don't show up in specifics, then that's going to be not only problematic for attracting people, but the algorithm is going to have no idea who to show your content to. So you really have to define not only like one problem that you help people with, but also like the type of person, right? Not just like, I help women, I help people. It's like, I help new moms. Right? Because even if we think of things in the context of problems, like health issues, if someone has fatigue, the reason why they have fatigue and why they want to get rid of their fatigue is going to be different depending on the person. We're talking about like a college-aged girl or woman, she wants to get rid of fatigue so she can socialize and date and have fun and party, versus a new mom probably wants to connect more, be more present with the new baby and feel like they're a better mom and, you know, actually be able to like get through the day and do all the things that she needs to do. So it's very different. So we don't want to be generic. We want to be able to speak to that, right? And that's this trust piece, because people, when you show up and speak to someone's experience as a new mom with fatigue, and it's so specific that they're just like, that literally happened to me yesterday. That's what builds trust, because truly, I think humans are very simple. They want to feel seen, heard, and understood.
I love that.
That's all.
Yes.
That's all, yeah. Right? That's all.
And it's just, that's the biggest difference, I think, to building an online business. Like, when you are teaching in person in a small town, that's already your niche.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
So that's already your niche. But when you want to reach people online, like, and you do something on Instagram, everybody who uses Instagram is your audience. So yeah, you have to niche down in a very different way.
Absolutely. And, you know, in-person business and online business have very little in common. In-person is way easier, right? It's way easier because you don't need to niche down. People actually walk by your business. You know, they see your sandwich board, or they're actually searching, like, you know, they only have so many options. Like, you don't have, you know, especially in a small town, you may only have three other competitors in your town. Even in like a mid-sized city, maybe you have 12 competitors. But when we're online, like, unless you reduce your competition pool, you're competing with hundreds of thousands of other practitioners, yoga instructors, whatever, because there's so many of them online. And like, do you really want to have to compete with that many people? Because that's what you're doing to yourself. And then you're trying to get the attention of billions versus a much smaller group of people. And I mean, you'll just never get the attention of billions because billions of people have virtually nothing in common, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. And actually what a few of my clients are struggling with is then trying to do both. Like trying to keep their in-person clients happy, and they're just thinking about them and that they are their ideal clients. And but they are everybody, like from 25 to 60s. And I think, yeah, that's great, but you know, that's
well, I think you have to think of it as two different businesses, right? Yeah. Can you niche down in an in-person business? It depends on where you live. You know, if you live in a really small place, maybe not, versus like a big city, like maybe you could be the yoga specialist for pelvic floor for new moms, right? You could do well. And so potentially you could kind of merge it in that way. But again, like sometimes you do have, like the marketing strategies are very different. Nobody just walks by your business online. No one just stumbles upon your Instagram with you just sitting there. Like you have to constantly put yourself out there. And then you also have to share your personality and pieces of your personal life, right? Which isn't necessary for in person. And this is where people get tripped up because it's very hard. You have to put yourself out there constantly. And you have to spend time speaking to, you know, the initial struggle you mentioned, like I'm posting three times a week and nothing's happening. I mean, social media is not the fast game. It's the long game. Like if you want fast results, social media will never be it. Could you go viral with a post and gain a bunch of followers? It can happen. It's unlikely. I've never gone viral. I've been on social media for almost a decade. I've never gone viral. It doesn't matter. You know, I still have a very successful business, but you can't rely on that. And so you really do have to develop a mindset and be okay with waiting. And, you know, I think it's a bit interesting because there's such a low barrier to entry with online coaching and online business that like anyone can just get into it because you don't have to invest $100,000 of capital. But like, it's crazy because I think because there's such a low barrier to entry, people expect these fast results. Whereas if we're talking about in person, if you're to open a yoga studio, you've got to invest a lot of money. You need equipment. You probably have to do renovations. You have to create the space. You need mirrors. Like you have to pay for rent. Like you're not going to expect to be profitable within the first couple years. Like typically there's like a 3-year plan for profit. And we have to think of it the same with online business. Like if you're not willing to give your business at least 3 to 5 years, you really have no business being in business, in my opinion.
I love that. Yes, definitely. 100% agree. And that need for instant gratification. Like I signed up for your program. Now you're telling me I first have to build an audience before I can make money.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. And it's like, yes, what did you expect? I mean, yeah. But it's just like, you know, we see other people who are widely successful and think, yeah, I want that too. I mean, I love having an online business. I love that freedom. I love that scalability. I love that it allowed me now to move to Spain.
Yeah.
Work from a camper van. And I know that this is also what's attractive to a lot of people. I also had like students who, one of my former students, she's actually now my mindset coach in my program. She's really a successful life coach in Canada. Was one of the first life coaches. And then she came to a point where she was like, yeah, you know what? I'm getting older. I want to work less, but I don't want to earn less money. So let's create something online. And she's like slowly building it up, creating an online program. And yeah, like in her 60s, doing it.
Love it. Yeah.
Love it.
So great.
Right? Yeah. And with a really clear vision. And I think that's so important to have that reason why you're doing it. Mm-hmm. Why do you put yourself out there? What's really driving you on?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that because it has to be more than money. Like money is great and we all want money. And I think having a healthy relationship with money and liking money is important to be an entrepreneur, but there has to be something bigger, because there's something called toxic growth that I see all the time. And as someone who's hit a lot of like bigger money goals, I can tell you that they're pretty empty, right? You feel good for a day and then you're kind of over it, and it can feel like it's never enough. And there's this big thing happening in online entrepreneurship right now. I don't know if you've noticed it, but there's some big seven-figure entrepreneurs who are going on sabbatical and going burning out and having mental health issues.
Yeah.
Several of my mentors, and it's just like left, right, and center. I'm seeing these people just kind of drop like flies. And, you know, I think you really have to think about like what success looks like for you and define that and figure out like what kind of business do you actually want? Me personally, I don't want an empire. I don't want a big team. I don't need a multiple seven-figure business, a multiple eight-figure business. Like, I don't want that, because that's going to basically eat into the reason why I started the business, which is really just to play in the mountains with my friends and partner. That's it. I just want to like be weird in the mountains with my friends and my boyfriend. And that's all I want out of life. And if I build a business too big, then I'm not going to be able to do that.
Yeah, I love that. And the same, like last year, I was probably working like 20% less than the year before and just like traveling in my camper van for 6 months of the year, going hiking with my dog and living, not only working. I mean, I'm still ambitious, but you can definitely also burn out doing what you love. So it's always a balance. I think it's difficult to give tips there. I feel like sometimes we have to experience it ourselves, right? Yeah. To go through that. I was working in advertising, which is a very stressful environment. So I was on the edge of burnout a few times. And that, together with my yoga journey, that taught me that awareness to listen to what's going on in my body, to listen to my intuition. Right. But that's life experience. So sometimes we have to make the bad experiences, I feel like, when we're young, just go through it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I mean, everyone has to fail lots.
Yes. Get fired. Fail at beyond.
Yeah.
All the things. Let's get back to social media. So the first step is really to niche down. Even more. Do you have some more examples to share? I love like sharing examples, make it really actionable. What are like some really successful niches that you've seen?
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say like what will kind of set a successful niche apart is solving like a big painful problem, right? And that can look like a lot of different things, but it has to be a big painful problem and the person has to have awareness around it. Because a lot of what happens in health and wellness is people will try to niche in like the root cause. So they'll be like, oh, well, I help people with leaky gut, or I help people with blood sugar imbalance or inflammation. And these are big problems, but they're not problems that people have awareness around. People don't know what leaky gut is. They're not worried about their blood sugar, but they are worried about their weight. They are worried about their energy levels. They are worried about maybe a diabetes diagnosis or something like that, right? And so you first have to ask yourself, like, is the person have awareness around this? Because if they don't think or know they have the problem, then they will never pay you to solve it for them. So this is where I think people get tripped out, because we have to kind of go to the superficial level, because we're all taught, you know, a holistic way to look at the body and this root cause. But marketing is about communication. Niching is about communication. So you have to communicate at them at where they are at consciously and where they've evolved to. And usually they're not thinking about blood sugar. They're thinking like, I gained 30 pounds and I don't know what to do, right? So first off, they have to have awareness around it, right? And then the second thing is it has to be like a right now problem. Like, this is a big problem. This is impacting my life. This is preventing me from what I want to be doing. I can't live like this anymore. I need to solve this problem now. Because that is where you can make a lot of money and really help people, because those people not only are actively looking for solutions, but they're motivated. Because if they're in the mindset of like, yeah, this is a problem, but I'll solve that tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
Yeah. That's not for example for women, where we know that we should do weight training to not get osteoporosis in old age. Mm-hmm. But that's something that's super far away for a lot of women. Yeah. So yeah, I get it.
Totally. And like weight training isn't a problem. It's a method, right? It's the way that you could help someone solve a problem, but it's not what they're necessarily actively looking for.
It would be like
they're
the looking problem that you could loss. Get in the future.
Yeah,
that's totally difficult to sell. Yeah,
totally prevent future disease. Like we would love for people to come to us healthy and be like, I just want to prevent future disease. It doesn't happen. I've served thousands of clients. I've never had someone come to me for that. Like, so it really has to be a big, painful problem. And so that would be things like, with the awareness as well, things like weight gain, Hashimoto's, right? Like a type 2 diabetes diagnosis, joint pain, back pain, postpartum depression, anxiety, things like that, right? Where people are like, I can't do what I want to do because I'm so anxious. Like I haven't left my house for a week because I'm so anxious, right? Like that's a big problem. And people really do have to hit rock bottom. That's just human nature, right? We don't tend to make a change until like we hit that rock bottom where like something happens and we're just like, oh my God, this is big, right? And you want those types of people because those people are motivated to make change. People who don't have those big problems may hire you. They won't pay as much money for help, but then they're the ones who ghost you or who just like don't do the work, make excuses. And there's nothing wrong with them. They just haven't evolved to that state where they need a right now solution. So.
Yeah, I love that. So that makes total sense. Niche down, solve like a real life problem in a way that people are aware of. And then what do you do then when you're just getting started? Or let's say you've been in business a while, but okay, now you're just updating your Instagram bio and start talking about that.
I think like people really need to be aware of the types of content they're posting. And when you're new, it can feel scary to rock the boat. Right. And what I see a lot of health practitioners and coaches doing is sharing very generic and safe content. And a lot of it is what I call like education-based content, how to stay hydrated, how to eat healthy or whatever. But like every piece of content, because the niche is just it's literally this mini, tiny little first step that you do in your overall messaging. When I say messaging, I'm just referring to how you communicate, which is essentially everything you put out online. Again, it needs to come back to that person. And what a lot of people do is they just share like this kind of how-to educational content, like I mentioned. So if we're talking about, maybe a new mom who wants to lose the baby weight, then we're just saying stuff like, oh, how to stay hydrated or 3 tips to improve your metabolic health or, you know, how to get more sleep. And it's okay to share some of that content, but you essentially just become a glorified version of Google in a way, because you can find all that shit on Google.
Or health magazine or something.
Yeah. Totally. WebMD. It's not very engaging. And most people aren't going to take those tips and do anything with them. So that's just really one piece of the content. The other types of piece of content that we have to think about sharing, a really important one is like story-based content, where we share our personal story and stories from our life or from our experience, because humans connect to story. And because this trust piece is so important in marketing and sales, they're going to want to get to know you. People will buy from people who they see themselves in or they want to be like, right? And so if you never share anything about yourself or your journey, then it can fall very flat. And then you're just kind of like this glorified free tips chick or free tips dude who just shows up on Instagram and gives away things for free and people never really take action and buy.
I think that's what still a lot of yoga teachers are doing. Yeah. And I mean, a lot of them like grew very big on Instagram, just posting like yoga pictures or videos. Mm-hmm. And it's not selling anything. Mm-hmm. What is it selling? What problem is it solving? And who's following you beside like other yoga teachers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And I mean, you can grow big with that sort of thing, especially with something so visual as yoga, right? People like to, it's beautiful to watch. And people like looking at fit bodies, let's be honest, right? But it doesn't actually go deeper and doesn't share anything about yourself. And so, sharing your story can be a really impactful piece of this. And then there's something I call connection-based content, which isn't necessarily, this is like the only kind of like non-niche specific type of content you will share. But really what you're trying to do is connect with shared values, right? And so it's important to know your values, and it's important to know your ideal client's values. So for
Can you share an example?
Yes. So an example is I serve health coaches. I used to be a health coach. What's our common value? Well, it's health, right? Like I'm very passionate about health, do all kinds of weird things for my health. I love I'm a biohacker. I love cold plunges and I wear a continuous glucose monitor. I have an Oura ring. I'm tracking all my stats. And so health has nothing really to do with business directly, but I often share about things I'm doing for my health, right? I share that through my Instagram stories. I share that on my podcast where I just chat about my health journey or things I'm doing. And people love that. That stuff will get the most engagement. And it's not teaching them anything about business, but it's like humanizing me and it's making people connect with me because they're like, oh, she's just like me, right? She's a weird health nerd like me. And so for your people, that could be family. Like maybe family is a common value. Maybe travel is, maybe adventure, maybe religion, right? Like there's so many different common values we could have. And so you want to be sharing that type of content regularly because that's what helps people trust you and get to know you. But always coming back to a really key point of this, which is relevancy. It has to be relevant, right? I'm not going to share, about my acid trip at Burning Man if there's no relevancy to you, right? If there's no shared common value, but it's maybe I did this, had this certain experience at Burning Man while I was on acid that my people will connect with, or there's a shared value there. So you just have to make sure it's relevant. You're not just sharing random stuff.
How do you separate that from the posts that show up in the feed and the stories?
Yeah. So, I think you can share connection content anywhere. But if we're talking about Instagram specifically, your feed posts tend to reach new people, right? They will reach your audience, but they're the ones that actually get out to new people versus stories. No one new really is going to find your story for the most part. It's really just going to reach your audience. So that's where I love to share connection content because it's people are already following me. They already have a little bit of a connection to me. It's also really easy to share just kind of behind the scenes stuff of oh, look at me. I'm taking a reading for my continuous glucose monitor and look, my glucose is off the charts because I just ate that piece of pie or whatever, right? Something like that. So that's a great place to share it. But I really think you can share it anywhere. I think you can share it in a reel as well. You can share it in a carousel post, a static post. I just think you should be sharing that type of content regularly.
Yes, love it. Thanks for sharing the examples. I think that made it so much more easy to grasp for people. So let's talk a little bit about selling on social media, because it's such a big topic and selling in stories, selling in your post. And then I see people just creating a post with their weekly schedule and posting that. And that's not helping anyone because nobody's seeing it.
So yeah.
Showing up.
Well,
what are your best practices there?
I would say with selling, you're always selling. People really need to take the mindset of every time you show up, you're selling something, whether it's your personality, it's your values, it's your personality, it's your program. You're always selling. And I think, the biggest mistake people make is they don't sell enough and they're worried about I don't want to be pushy. I don't want to be too promotional. I talk about my program basically every day on Instagram, either directly or indirectly, whether I just mention it in a post this is something I teach my students inside Health Coach Accelerator, or I'm my students from a Health Coach Accelerator, or this student had this. It's I'm always mentioning it directly or indirectly. And then I'm always promoting it and showing people how to sign up, right? I think people have to think about the types of people who are in their audience at any given time, right? We have cold leads, warm leads, hot leads. Cold people are the people who maybe haven't followed you yet, but they've seen your content a little bit, or maybe they just followed you. They don't like you. They don't know you. They don't trust you. They're just aware of you, right? That story content can be really effective for moving them from hot to warm. Warm people like you, right? They like you. They're there. They're engaging with your content. That's where a lot of that educational content will have a bigger effect, or content that maybe shifts limiting beliefs. But then we have to think about the hot leads, right? The people who are aware of your program, right? And they can only become aware if you talk about it. And those people are ready. And I think a lot of people are I posted once last week about my program. It's that's not enough because not everyone sees your content. Social media is almost a game of volume because only 1-2% of your followers actually see your content. So you could post every day and people aren't going to see it every day. But you really need to become the biggest ambassador for your program. Like, you need to be enthusiastic about it. Like, and you need to cultivate that internally. You need to believe that your program is the best option for people, and people are stupid for not buying it, you know? And you're just like, love it and passionate about it. And like, that's where people get really excited, because if you are not confident in your program, or if you are like kind of weird around selling, then people kind of sense that energy and wonder what it is. So I think like we put a lot of focus on like, okay, now I have to put a promotional post out there. You know, it's like, oh, I've nurtured, this is my one promotional post. I don't really think that's overly effective. The algorithm will probably bury that feed and, you know, it won't get out there. So it's really about just always talking about it, whether it's sharing client stories, mentioning it, throwing it out there. You know, you could create a post that's, say, educational, and you could just throw in there, this is actually what I teach in module 2 of my XYZ program. Right? We really focus on it here. Just constantly throwing out there, because it's that awareness where people will hear about it enough. Because what you want to do is connect your identity as the business owner to program. Like, they should be intimately intertwined, right? If you come to my content, you'll quickly know that I'm Kendra Perry. I'm a business coach and my program is Health Coach Accelerator.
Yes. Love it. Thanks for sharing the example as well. And I think that's super clear. What is like, is there like a big change that you're seeing in 2023? What to focus on when you're like a health coach, wellness practitioner?
Yes. I mean, the biggest thing that I think is happening in 2023 is the economy. I think regardless of where people are in the world, like whether you think it's a recession or not, something's happening where the smallest bag of groceries is costing me like $200. So I think we all are feeling that, right? And so I think people are being more cautious about spending. You know, in 2020, businesses really took off. Businesses had a great year because people had time. So they were investing. They still had lots of expendable money. Some people were getting stimulus checks, or in Canada, it's called CERB. So there was a lot of money going into the economy. And so a lot of businesses who came online were like, oh, this is the best. I'm making so much money. That carried on into kind of the end of 2021. But 2022 was a really rough year for a lot of businesses. Yeah. And it continues into 2023. So we're dealing with a more competitive market and then hesitant customers. So, and this is the reason why anyone won't buy, even outside of like a recession or weird economic times, but people won't buy because of lack of trust, certainty, and safety, right? So building trust, right? Sharing your story, sharing pieces about your life, right? Like connecting with people, that's really what's going to build trust. What is going to build certainty is you actually sharing what's in your program. And sharing how you actually work with people. Because, you know, the weird thing about buying an online program is it's not like buying a couch that you can go sit in at the store, right? You can test it out. You can lie on it. Is this comfortable? Like, you know, what does the color look like? Like, you know, it's very different. Like, people don't always know what they're getting. And I mean, you're never going to fully show them everything, because then you'd be giving them the program. But like sharing your philosophy, right? Something I called your philosophy posts, where you're literally sharing like your method and how you work with people, how it's different, what it actually looks like to work with you, you know, actually maybe sharing the story of a client and like what they were like when they came into your program, what you actually did with them, how your program helped them and what the outcome was, right? Right. Your methodology. I think that's really important, because that can actually help build certainty. And then safety is really about, I think, sharing testimonials and social proof and showing that you can get someone a result. And you can do that in so many ways. Like, I know people who are new are like, oh, I don't have a lot of testimonials. But like, if somebody gives you positive feedback on a comment on your post, screenshot it, use that, right? Like, there's so many different ways. If people, you know, I share a lot of my social proof is just from posts in my Facebook group from my Health Coach Accelerator students, where they're just like, oh, I just got a client. Anytime that someone shares any win, even if it's not in regards to getting clients or getting money, they're just like, oh my God, I just finished my program. I'm so excited. I'm like, screenshot, and you can remove their identifying information, right? You can ask them for permission, but you can also just remove it and like share that. And we should be sharing that regularly, and also case studies, right? Which is really, and again, you can share any client, just remove their identifying information if you don't, but you can change their name and just say, you know, this is how I helped Jane go from 30 pounds overweight and hating her body to fully confident at her ideal body weight, right? You could say something like that and just say, so Jane came to me. These were the things that were going on and these were her goals. This is what we did with her specifically, step by step, right? You can share that in like a carousel post, on a story, whatever. And this was the outcome, right? Like that will create that safety because then people feel safe investing because they know that you got someone a result who's just like them.
Yes, I love that. And I think it all comes together. Like, you know, like when we started with niching, I think that's super important in today's economy to people are still spending money. They're just prioritizing, right? Yeah, so when you have totally. Like a problem that you really solve, that people has a really big pain point, they're still looking for expert. They're still looking for a solution.
Yeah. I mean, when I had my health issues, like I dealt with all kinds of like chronic fatigue and insomnia for like 6 years. And when I was struggling with that, I mean, this was before I had a business. I was a seasonal forestry worker. So I worked for 5 months out of the year. I was on unemployment for the rest of the year. I didn't have any money. I put everything on credit. I put thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on my credit card because my problem was that bad and I couldn't keep living the way I was living. And it hurt. I hated it, but I did it and I don't regret it. You know?
Yeah. So like, you know, people are prioritizing. I'm like living on a holiday island now and they are, I think, expecting like this year to be even bigger than last year, which was already like the biggest year even compared to before the pandemic. People still want to travel. They still want to get rid of their health problems. They still want a relationship and better sex and like those basic needs, those basic niches who probably always do well in a way.
Yeah. Well, and it's about value, right? And I think, you know, it's just funny. Like if you actually think about what people spend their money on, like it's really about, I mean, it drives me a little bit crazy because I'll watch people spend $1,500 on an iPhone and then they're like afraid to invest $1,000 in their health. And it's just crazy to me because I'm like, health is way more important than an iPhone, but you got to find those people who see the value in it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. And that's like your job to articulate it and to create an offer around really that specific problem that you're solving. I love it how it all came together. So thank you so much. That's been really amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and expertise. It's been such a pleasure. And where can people go to learn more about you?
Yeah. So the best way to connect with me is on Instagram. That's where I generally hang out. It's at Kendra Perry Inc. I'm also on YouTube, same handle. And I also have a podcast. It's called the Wealthy Coach Podcast. So if people love podcasting, I also hang out there.
Definitely check it out. I also add all the links to the show notes. Thank you so much, Kendra.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Blissful Biz Podcast. If you like the show, please leave a review on iTunes. This would mean the world to me. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to never miss a new episode. To learn more about how to work with me one-on-one, my courses and membership, or to get instant access to freebies, workshops, and more, go to SusanneRijker.com right now. Thanks for tuning in and see you next time. Hey there, interrupting for a short announcement. I'm hosting a virtual bootcamp to help you kickstart your online business from May 6th to May 10th, and I would love to see you there. It's the Make Your First or Next $5,000 online bootcamp, and you can save your spot for this free virtual event when you go to my website, SusanneRijker.com/bootcamp. That's SusanneRijker.com/bootcamp. I'm going to go live every day from Monday to Friday with a live training on how to elevate your vision, choose your profitable niche, amplify your content, nail down your signature offer to make your first or next $5,000. I can't believe how freaking fun, valuable, and powerful this virtual event is going to be. You'll get 5 live stream trainings, all of the recordings in case you can't make it live or need to leave early, access to my new community, the Midlife Biz Hive, including tons of additional trainings for you to dive in, the chance to ask any questions in our calls or in the community. It'll be amazing. This event is a real game changer, whether you're just starting out or you've been at it for a while, but feeling a bit stuck around the maybe $2,000 to $3,000 monthly mark. If you're eager for more and ready to figure out the online business puzzle, this is the perfect place to kickstart your journey to bigger and better results.